Welcome to Stories with Straight Arrow. My name is Chief Straight Arrow, and I will be your guide as we travel the trail together. So let's get ready to head over to the council fire, where we will sit up straight, listen, learn, and never forget. Now, as we get ready to head out on the trail together, first, let's take a moment and stop at the trading post, and there, we'll see if we have any messages from any of our friends. Well, there is no need for us to head over to the trading post today because Louis was out for a walk and he had a message with him. He has found us over by the council ring and has delivered the message to us. There is a question which is sent from Rebecca. And Rebecca simply asks, what holidays do Native people celebrate? Well, Rebecca, they are quite different than we would be, and you must not think of days, but rather times, seasons. That's what they celebrate. They would not have a day, for instance, such as a birthday or Christmas Day. They would celebrate times of season, like planting, first snow, harvest, things of that nature. Those were times when they gathered together. There could be games, there would be music, there would be tribal dances, there would be feasting. All of that varied from year to year, depending on how the weather went. So, to answer your question, they didn't have holidays like we think of them, that is to say, certain days, but they did celebrate from year to year at certain times. That's the difference. Hope this helps and answers your question. Thank you very much for sending it in. And now, let's head out to the trail and over to the council fire. On a cold winter night, four children named Daisy, Cody, Maggie, and Chase sat at their dinner table with their dad and mom. In the course of their conversation together, Cody turned to his dad to ask if he knew how Native boys became warriors in their village in the old days. Cody's dad thought for a moment and said that he only knew what his dad, their grandfather, had told him. All of the children now pressed him to hear the story, for their dad was a good storyteller. The children's mom said, "You had better tell them all about this, but first, let's clean up from dinner, and then let's get settled in the family room, and I will bring us some dessert." Once everyone was settled with their bowl of ice cream, Dad began. "Long ago," he said, "far to the north and east, lived a tribal people called Penobscot. This name means where the rock sticks out. It was the native way of saying rocky cliffs. In one of the Penobscot villages, there was a small family, including a father, a mother, and one son. The father was greatly proud of his son, and wanting to also honor his nation, he named his son Falling Rocks. The boy grew up in the village and was a favorite of so many in the village. He learned very quickly, and in time also grew very strong. Falling Rocks' father, however, always pushed him harder and harder. The father felt, with such a name of great honor, this young boy must be the best at everything he did. Finally, early one summer day, in the boy's 15th summer, his father approached him. "In 14 sleeps," he said, "you will take the warrior's test and then be placed among our very best." But the boy feared lest he fail the test and disappoint his father. Over the next days, the young man worked harder than ever before, with his father right there watching him all the time. He ran, he swam, he climbed, he shot the bow and arrow, he practiced everything, but always his father seemed to want more, and this made the young boy worry even more. After the first 12 sleeps had passed, the boy came to his father. "I fear I am not ready to take the test of the great warrior," he said. His father would not hear of it. "He must be ready. He must be ready to pass, and pass the test better than anyone had ever done." With that, the young boy's heart sank. At sunrise the next day, the young boy stood before his father. "Please," he said, "please allow me more time to prepare for the test," he begged. His mother put her hand on the father's arm, and slowly the father said he would allow only 14 more sleeps, but after that, the test must be taken and must be done perfectly. In the days that followed, the young boy worked even harder and became exhausted. The people in the village felt bad and wished that the boy could only rest, but there was nothing they could do or say. On the morning of the 10th sleep, the father awoke to find his son out of the lodge already. This was not unusual, for the boy was in training, and on this day, he was out for the entire day and never came home. When night came and there was still no sign of him, the mother worried. But the father simply said, "He only tests himself against the forest." And with that, he ate a meal and went to sleep. But that night, the boy did not return. The next morning, the father awoke to find him missing. He walked about the village and the surrounding area, but still the boy could not be found. He went back to his home and said to his wife, "The boy is not found. It is obvious that he has taken a walk and seeks to test himself even greater." On the second morning, when the boy had still not returned, the father asked for help from others in the village. They helped gladly, for he was a loved young boy. After many, many days of the group searching, it was clear that the boy had left. His trail could be found going west, but it disappeared at the edge of a river. Standing in the group with the searchers looking, the father asked, what could he possibly do now? Where could he look? Where could he go? Finally, one of the group spoke what everybody was thinking. "He may not have left," the man said, "if you had not been so cruel." The father's heart was on the ground, which meant he had great sadness. When others could no longer help for the work that they had to do, the father continued to search alone, determined to find him. All day he would go out. Sometimes he would not return to the village in the evening. But day after day he searched. And as summer now passed into fall, the seasons were changing. The father was gone for longer periods of time. His searching took him further and further from the village. Finally, He contacted other friendly villages, told them the story. They promised to look, and they went in different directions. But after many, many seasons, the father never returned, brokenhearted, having never found his son. The other villages continued to look. They branched further and further away until some of them even came into contact with villages that were not friendly. But when the unfriendly villages heard the story, they too began to search and search and search for the boy. Still, he could not be found. As the various villages continued to send searchers out, still further and further away, other nations took up the challenge to find the young boy and return him. Seasons turned to years. Still others searched, even though the boy now would have been a young man. Eventually, even men and women in the villages of the settlers began looking. Further and further, out further and further, the story continued to grow. One group told another, who told another, and the search became greater and greater. Finally, the years added up and became decades. And by now, the boy would have been an older man. With the tribal villages disappearing and the settler villages growing into large cities, the story was still told in quiet corners and great gatherings. Who would find the truth of the missing boy? As the decades of years turned into a century, still men and women searched for the boy. And so do you, although you did not even realize it. For on the side of your great roadways to this day, there are signs that still read, "Watch out for falling rocks." I hope you've had a good April Fool's Day, because I certainly have. Please, join me next time when we will continue the story of Onegas Nebe. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for joining me today at the Council Fire. I have loved having you along with me. If you would like to send a message or a question to the Trading Post, ask your adult for permission, and then send it to askstraightarrow@gmail.com. I may choose your question to answer on the program. And finally, if you would like to support this program, you can find the link in the show notes. Once again, thank you for joining me, and I hope to see you next time at the Council Fire.